Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, which I'll reread, is the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is our text. Why are we here? Why do we gather together every single Sunday morning? I suppose if a friend asked you that question, you probably would have a ready answer, but sometimes the most difficult answer to give is the one that is succinct and brief, to the point. We are here because of the Word. The Word of God is the reason we gather. We hear three readings from the Word of God, and we have the Word joined with the bread and the wine and Holy Communion. We are here because of the Word. Not simply because of fellowship, not just because we like one another and enjoy one another's company. I hope that's the case. I know sometimes it's not always easy living together, but the thing that binds us, the thing that is the center of our life in the church, is the Word of God. And that's where our reading from Isaiah 55 turns us again today, to God's Word, the true holy thing that makes the holy Christian church, by which the Holy Spirit is at work creating faith. The Word of God is to be seriously heard and contemplated and used. And God gives the promise that where His Word is present, there it is effective and powerful to do the work for which He sends it. We need to remember that the Bible, God's Word, is not just a book of information. There is an awful lot of information in there. You can play a Bible trivia game, and it doesn't take long to be stumped with some obscure question or fact. But it is more than that. It is the power of God, where God Himself is present and active, with such force that what God is doing through His Word, in a way, seems to be inevitable and unstoppable, because His Word is true, and it does exactly what it says. That's why we hear the Word together here every single Sunday. If we ever were to stop doing that, then you need to speak with the pastor and the elders and ask what's gone wrong. And if it continues, then you go somewhere else where you have the Word of God. But the blessing is that we also have the Scriptures in our own homes. We can read it each and every day. And the power that is ascribed to the Word of God is also true when you read it on your own, in your own home. In fact, God's Word has the power to convince the reader, the hearer, of its authority. It has the power, simply by reading or hearing it, to make Christians. And I know it's true, not just because the Bible says it, but because it's also happened in practice. Some of you sitting in here today have told me, "Pastor, I wasn't really a Christian. We didn't go to church, but for some reason, I was moved to pick up the Bible and read it. And here I am." Because God's Word has that power. It is heavenly and holy And whatever God is able to do, His Word is able to do. And so one thing that I hope you can walk away from service today with is a desire to grow in your love for the gift of the Word. And then to seek Him in His Word and receive His good gifts. The two things I want to speak about today are the nature of God's Word and the benefit of God's Word. And we're going to go back to Isaiah 55 to consider these two things, the nature and the benefit of God's Word. First, the nature of God's Word. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. When God goes to speak about His Word, He begins by speaking about the natural world, things that we can see and are obvious to everyone, and He speaks about the rain and the snow. The rain and the snow that come down from heaven and water the earth so that plants and fruits and vegetables grow and we have seed and we have bread, things to eat. That is the image He gives. And you might say it draws us all the way back to God's word in Genesis chapter 1, when God spoke and everything came into being, and He said that every kind of plant was to yield according to its kind and continue. The word by which God spoke all things into being continues to be effective today and bring forth the things that we enjoy and that feed and nourish our bodies. The rain and the snow are not useless, but they accomplish a great deal. For God spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. And that's why you have food to eat every single day. But God goes on from there. He uses that as an analogy and says, just as the rain and the snow water the earth, so also is His word effective for the purpose for which He sends it. His word accomplishes what God desires that it would do. I recall here the prophet Isaiah, who when God called him, God said to him, I have put my words in your mouth. I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. What did Isaiah give, or what did God give to Jeremiah to do this work? He didn't send Jeremiah with an army. He didn't give him a host of angels. He gave him my word, which will come out of your mouth. The word of God accomplishes what He says. In the parable of the sower from Matthew 13, we see that word at work. And honestly, it doesn't look like it accomplishes a whole lot when you begin the parable. You have this picture of the sower who's just going out and seeming to scatter seed at random, which isn't the way any farmer or gardener would do it. But he's sort of profligate, just throwing seed away. And some of it falls on the path. And the birds come and pluck the seed up. Almost as if the seed just pings right off and has nowhere to land, nowhere to take root. Jesus says that the word of God is the seed. And He's describing here those for whom the word of God is, to whom the word of God is spoken, but it doesn't seem to do anything. Bounces right off. Doesn't even land. The devil, he comes and snatches the word away. He speaks of the word being sown on the rocky or the shallow ground, where it grows up with great joy, but then withers away in the heat of the day. We might think here of the word of God being planted in something deeper than our own emotions or our own feelings. The word of God needs to take deep root in us. How often have we heard of or have we seen people who suddenly have this zest and zeal for God's word and for the Christian faith, And then you talk to them 3 months later and it's all evaporated and dried up. Withered away quickly. And then there's the seed that's sown among the and the weeds grow up among it. And you get this description of the anxieties and worries of this life that can choke out the fruitfulness of the word. I suspect that may be the thing that we who are gathered here struggle with the most. We know the word is a blessing. We desire to be where the word of God is present. And yet there are so many other things in life tugging at us, pulling on us, drawing us away, anxieties and worries that get in the way of our hearing. A good test of how weedy the soil is to ask yourself, what is it that keeps you from receiving the word of God and receiving the Holy Communion every single time it's offered? What prevents you from being present for worship? Whatever it is, you can identify that as the weeds that are choking the word and preventing it from being fruitful. But then this parable of the sower has that beautiful ending to it. While the seed is being sown, and there's the path, and there are the rocks, and there are the weeds, there is the good soil where the seed lands and grows up and then produces a crop, a harvest of 100-fold or 60-fold or 30 times what was sown. And that's where we see this amazing ability and power of the word to produce fruit, to bring forth good in our lives and in our world. The amazing ability of God's word to simply bear fruit where it is sown. Sometimes in the most unlikely places. Perhaps you've had that experience as well. Bearing witness to someone that you think is ripe for the word of God, and they just don't ever seem to hear it. And then you make an offhanded comment about your faith to someone who seems about as far away from Christ as they can possibly be, and they're the one who wants to know more. They're the one who's willing to come with you to church. They're the one who says, I don't have a Bible, would you be willing to give me one? And the seed bears fruit. The building up of the church is not done by us. It is not the result of our works, but it is done simply by the word of God, which again, as I said earlier, is the reason that we are gathered here. So what is it that God does by his word? What are the actions or the results of his word taking effect? We often speak of God's word having two ways that it works, or two types of word by which God speaks, God's law and God's gospel. The law of God are those ways in which God speaks about the things that we are to do or not to do. The commands, the promises based on our own works, the threats against what we do. Every time we read the Ten Commandments, we are reading that word of law, and that word is effective. When God says, thou shalt not, it is not necessarily effective in stopping our sinful nature, but it is effective in exposing our sin and bringing it to light. And when you have seen your sin in the light of God's word, when you see what you have thought, said, or done unveiled, you know how it can rip you and tear you apart and bring you to your knees. Repentance. That is God's word at work, exposing our sin that we might be condemned, that our guilt would be shown, that we might despair of ourselves and seek help elsewhere. And that leads us to that word of the gospel, in which God speaks to us not about what we need to do or not to do, but about what God himself has done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. It is the word, the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. The good news of Jesus Christ. that points us away from ourselves and to his own suffering, death, and resurrection. There is our Savior, and there is our salvation. There is the forgiveness that we need. And God's word produces faith alongside that repentance, to believe that Jesus is indeed the Savior of the world. And this is the result that we see of God's word, exposing sin and revealing his Son, Jesus Christ. And it is effective in doing that work. The law of God, the book of Hebrews says, is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting and dividing to the marrow. A sword that wounds and a sword that does the work needed to bring healing. As we turn again to consider the nature of God's word, we also have a warning from God that we ought never to mock his word or to take it lightly, and that we ought to fear a drought of God's word. Yesterday, my son David was speaking to me and he said, "Dad, I hear that there's a drought. Does that mean we're going to die?" And I said, "No, the drought in New England is not that bad. But a drought of God's word would be. To have his word taken from us would result in nothing less than spiritual death." And we ought to be attentive as well, not to allow ourselves to be where God's word is present, but then to have our ears closed or our minds distracted. Do not let the devil come and snatch the word away from you. And do not allow yourself to listen carelessly to it, or to allow the anxieties and worries of the day to choke out what God is giving you. These are the dangers we face again and again. Ears closed, neglect of the word, doubt and anxiety that chokes it out. But God has promised that his word will do its work, that it will bear a harvest of righteousness, that the church as a church of the word will be a place where God is bringing to repentance and creating faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is the word made flesh, who was planted in the rockiest of soil in a new hewn tomb, where it looked like only death would be the result. But on the third day, the word was made alive again. And he rose from the dead, that he might be active and present wherever his word is spoken, wherever his sacraments are given, that he might be the life that is in the word, making us alive as well. We have the benefit of God's word spoken of also here in Isaiah 55. God says, "You shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace." These are words spoken for a time of captivity, when God's people in the kingdom of Judah had been taken away from their homeland, led into the kingdom of Babylon, and they were sitting in captivity and oppression. And God said to them that by his word, he would do a work where they would be led back, where they would have joy and gladness again, where being captives would not be the end of their story, but deliverance would be God's great and precious gift. And the prophet Isaiah describes this deliverance in terms that remind us again of the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. The wilderness and the dry land will be glad. The desert will blossom. There will be a new and restored creation. The thorn and the thistle, part of the curse that God gave, will be gone. But there will be a fruitfulness, a land that is transformed. We will have access again to the tree of life. This is the benefit that God promises through his word, that it is bringing about a new creation. We could say that it begins first with us, but it will blossom forth into a new creation in the end, a new heavens and a new earth, where the Word of God will be powerful and effective in every way. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The entire creation in bondage, awaiting its redemption, subjected to futility, but having a hope which is already seen at work in us. For we, by God's word, by his precious forgiveness in Christ, has made us his own dear children. We in Christ are new creations, and we are being renewed in that hope through the very word of God again and again. The benefit of the word of God is the joy that comes as we hear his promises, as we receive his gifts now, and as we look ahead to the hope that is ours in Christ in that new creation. Wherever the word goes, something happens. God sends his word out recklessly, it seems, but he has supreme confidence that his word will accomplish the purpose for which he sends it. It is sown with intent, the intent to go into that hard and rough and thorny soil, the intent that his word would go into every highway and byway of your heart and grow a surprise harvest in us that will bring blessing and eternal life through Christ. We are to hear the word with ears open, to read the word with understanding, to mark the word with intention, and to inwardly digest it by chewing upon it again and again and again. And this is why it is so important to us that God's word be taught in its truth and purity, and the sacraments be administered according to the word of God. Because there we know that God has given the promise, life, salvation, growth, and an abundant harvest. These parables of Jesus and this word of God call for patience on the part of the church. God does not guarantee that we will always see the result or the outcome, but he promises that we are to simply speak the word. And so as a church, this is what we do. We preach the word. We baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We call people to repentance. And even if few seem to hear it, even if most of it pings off hardened hearts, even if some of it gets a shallow or superficial hearing, even if some gets choked out by the riches and cares of the world and hearts grow cold and people fall away, though we may get discouraged, God promises that his word will be effective. Let us not stop trusting his word. Let us not seek to do it in our own way. Let us not try to water down the word, make it more pleasing or more relevant or more entertaining in a worldly way. But instead, let us pray. Pray that God would do his effective work through his word. Pray that the kingdom would come and the Holy Spirit would create faith. Pray that God's word would stir up trouble in the best sense of the word, afflicting sinners of their sins, so that we might have a godly grief that leads to repentance, so that the plow of the law might go straight through our hearts and the hearts of others, and prepare the ground for the word of the gospel, the word who is Jesus. He never returns empty. He accomplishes the purpose for which he is sent. We see that in his own ministry, and we see it still in our own lives today. You who were dead in sins have been made alive again through Christ Jesus. You no longer live to yourself, but Christ lives in you. The soil that we are, combined with the seed of God's word, which is powerful and effective, is able and will produce a 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing. We wait for it now. We look for it on the day of his resurrection, on the day of his return. You can count on that promise. And so for you today, here is God's encouragement and invitation. Seek him in his word. Receive his good gifts. Believe what he says. Let the word loose in your life. And God will accomplish exactly what he promises. Exactly what his purpose is. Putting sin to death and planting Christ in us over and over again. In Jesus' name.